Hi, it's Pastor Rick. This is the sermon for January 21st, 2018. I threw out my sermon Saturday morning. I threw it out and started fresh. My wife will tell you that I've done this before on occasion, and it drives her crazy. Writing a message takes a lot of time and research. Time spent reading, praying, contemplating, research on the context of the passages, research on what others have said, written, or preached about in the passages. I'm guessing an average sermon takes me between 5 and 10 hours to write, which I had already invested, and then I threw it out 24 hours ago. I believe that the Holy Spirit guides me, just as it guides you if we allow it, and I think that's what happened. You see, Friday night, Julie and I attended, well, I participated, as it turns out, in an ecumenical service at the Unity of the Cathedral of St. Michael. It was led by the clergy, which included several bishops from at least 12 denominations there. Two laity from our own church, Barb and Claire, were there as well. Two from Hope Church, Julie and Faye, also. For me, it was so deeply moving that I came out and threw out my sermon. My head and heart were filled with the awe of that moment and the deep respect for each person that came that night. It led me to wonder why. What drew them to this meeting? How had they decided to come? Even my wife coming was a surprise when she told me at 4 p.m., I'd like to go. I mean, it was a Friday night. Today's two readings from Jonah and Mark are about answering God's requests. Within Mark, we see Simon, Andrew, James, and John practically leap to their feet and follow Jesus with just a simple ask, come with me. They, seeing Christ before them, are likely hearing stories of him already, threw away their possessions, their way of life, and became disciples just like that. John's depiction is a little more detailed, but in both writings, in the end, they simply go. Jonah, on the other hand, having received a request, as it were, from God, ran away. You know, I don't really think he was swallowed by a literal giant fish. I know, that may be shocking. I think God, with infinite wisdom, saw Jonah running away and first gave him a warning by making the seas so rough. Then, when he didn't listen, I think he gave Jonah a big timeout. You know what I'm talking about here, don't you? Especially if you're a teacher or a parent. What happens when you give, or for that matter, get, a timeout? You're asked to go and think. You might be put in a chair or go sit in a corner, but the goal is to think about what just happened, to cool off those raging emotions, and after you've calmed down, hopefully, to come back into the world with new eyes. Jonah certainly had a big time out. 3 days in darkness and misery, seaweed wrapped around his head. Listen to his time out thoughts in Jonah. In trouble, deep trouble, I prayed to God. He answered me. From the belly of the grave, I cried, help! You heard me cry. You threw me into ocean depths, into a watery grave, with ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing over me. I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. Ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was as far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up from that grave alive. Oh God, my God! When my life was slipping away, I remembered God, and my prayer got through to you, made it all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, walk away from their only true love. But I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving, and I'll do what I promised I'll do. Salvation belongs to God. And I'll do what I promised I'd do. Salvation belongs to God. How different from the disciples by the sea. That was really a serious time out. I think before I got faith, really got faith, I was very much like Jonah. Read the Bible and pray daily. Yeah, sure, God, I'll do that just as soon as I get some time. Go talk to someone about how important my faith is. Yeah, sure, God, I'll do that if they're ready to hear me. answer the call to ministry? Run away, fast. Run to Africa if you have to. Do good works. That ought to satisfy that request. It was there, in the depths of struggling humanity, perhaps my belly of the big fish, during a timeout when I decided to answer the call. It was there, alone, far, far away from home, a big timeout from my life, on a Saturday, when I finally turned to God and said, I'll do what I promised to do so long ago. What a difference a timeout can make. Sitting in the corner of our lives, taking the deep breaths to calm ourselves, taking the time to really listen to what Christ has asked us to do. You know what he said in John 13, 34 through 35. Let me give you a new commandment. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. You know, in retrospect, it seems so much clearer now. Timeouts are important. For Jonah, it took truly reaching the bottom, the end of his life, for him to see it. For Simon, Andrew, James, and John, it took only being asked. I'm guessing they had already had their own timeouts before Jesus called to them. Friday night, among my sisters and brothers in Christ, the organizer, Reverend Laura Everett, came into our ready room and said, I need three of you. I and two deacons from the Episcopalian Church walked up and said, what can we do? There was no hesitation. It turns out they needed us to be part of the service, something totally unexpected for me, a laity member. And so we followed her to the sanctuary where she showed us what to do. We were stand up front and drop chains under the floor as someone delivered a message. Neither the deacons nor I worried about us doing it wrong. No one wondered if we would look silly or if it was the right or wrong thing. Come and follow me. It was that simple. It was that simple because of faith. I didn't need to think about saying yes. I don't need to think about saying yes anymore at all. That service, filled with people with different worship styles, with different interpretations on the right way to worship, was filled with people who every day get up and say, I'll do what I promised to do so long ago. I don't know their stories, but I'm willing to bet that there were many timeouts for them. I think that maybe that whole service was also a timeout, a way for us to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and to come together for our unified purpose to heal the world. No small task in today's uncivil environment. What about you? How close are you to saying yes? Maybe you're already there, and for that I thank God and join in a prayer of praise. But what if you're not there? What if you haven't gotten there yet? Maybe you haven't even put in your own personal time out. You know what? The really good news is you are here. You are surrounded by the love and grace of Christ right here. You don't have to be swallowed up by a giant fish. You can choose like Simon, Andrew, James, and John right now. Can I urge you to take this time in your life to study, to pray, to reflect upon the impact that God's love and grace might have in your life? Can I be so crazy as to ask you to maybe take a moment in the morning, every morning this week, to say a simple prayer? John Wesley told us that simple acts of prayer, reading scripture, and being in communion with others in faith can change you. Just by being here, you are almost there. I know it is a lot to ask. I know because I was asked the same thing, and it took a visit to the belly of a big fish for me. I pray you don't need a giant timeout like Jonah or me, but if it does, know that your sisters and brothers in Christ are here. They're sitting to your right and left. They're sitting here in front and behind you right now, ready to pull you ashore and answer Christ's call. Come, follow me. Amen.